Meredith.
Good morning. It's Galesburg Live here on your Saturday. Tom Meredith, glad to have you along with us as we've got a lot of basketball coming up a little bit later on today with the Galesburg Shootout. Games got underway at 11 o'clock this morning, and there's going to be a lot of great teams there, including the Galesburg Silver Streaks boys and girls, the girls at 3:30 this afternoon, the boys at 7:45 tonight. And we're going to talk a little more sports, some basketball, among other things. Our guest this morning has written a lot of sports around the area. He's fought a lot of fires as well. Used to be the sports editor of the Zephyr, now writing for the Knoxville Bulletin, so covering something a little bit different. John Ring joins us this morning. John, good morning. How are you today?
Morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, thanks for coming in again with us. And we were talking off the air. It's kind of been an interesting journey for you that you covered the Silver Streaks for a long time, and now getting a taste of the small school activities.
Right.
So one of the things I found over the years that it's always a little bit different atmosphere with the small schools as far as the fans and everything and being in those gyms on a Friday night or a Tuesday night, whatever.
It is, Tom. And you know, you're well aware of that. I mean, you covered the Streaks last night and you covered small schools too. And when I started it, a friend of mine asked me, he says, you covered the Silver Streaks 22 years. How are you going to adjust, not from Galesburg, Knoxville, but just in general? And it was easier than I thought. And I think a lot of it is because Norm Winnick, my publisher, the Zephyr, is passed away. I couldn't have done it if he would still be here, because he was my good friend. I was loyal to him. We were really close. But with him gone, it made it easier for me to make the adjustment. And once I started, you're in Knoxville, you're at the football games, you're part of the atmosphere there, the band's there, the team puts out just as much effort as the Silver Streaks or the Panthers or the Rocks. So it was a minimal adjustment for me.
Well, and the interesting thing is not that the community's not invested in a bigger community, but it's a little bit different. There's a smaller percentage of it. Even though there's more people, it's a smaller percentage of the people invested. And the smaller communities, the entire community is pretty much invested in what's going on.
Everybody knows everybody over there. If I found out early, if I needed a contact number, all I need to do is ask one person I know over there and I can get it. It makes it easier for me. But over there, it's a smaller community. There is a tight community and a good community. And I've had a lot of fun covering both the football and basketball. It's been a tough year in basketball. The girls are doing good. The boys not so good. But still, it's last night in Knoxville. It was a good atmosphere. It's fun. It's Friday night. And the kids try and they put forth their best effort. And it's just fun to do.
Yeah, it's always a great atmosphere, and that's why it kind of makes me sad with the four class system now. What's happened with the state tournaments and going from an Elite Eight to a Final Four, and you're separating, with the two classes. Okay, 1A plays at this time, 2A plays at this time.
Right,
the fans aren't invested as they were when it was two classes. Our team plays the first game, and we're going to play the winner of the second game. But we're still going to come to the night session because if we win tomorrow, then we're going to be playing one of those teams.
Right.
So, but now it's like, and not that some of the people don't go to both sessions, but they're not as invested. It's like, well, they're 2A. We're a 1A school. We're not going to be playing them, but I'm down here, so I might not go to the game. And as the way the attendance looks, people aren't going to those teams anymore, which is sad.
Tom, that's an excellent point. And I remember when that started. I know a lot of people I know were against going to four. We saw what happened in Indiana. And what happened in Indiana was they diluted the class system.
Yeah.
So the schools focused more on the regionals and sectionals. It's, hey, I want to be sectional champs. They never talked about going to state.
Yeah.
It was sectional championship, regional championship. I've noticed that in Illinois, too. I did a mid-state six preview for another publication in Limestone. And that's what the kids were saying down there. Oh, our goal is to be regional champs this year. Our goal is to make it to the sectional championship. It's like, wow, this has really changed a lot.
Yeah,
and I think it's a direct correlation to the IHSA's decision to expand it to four classes.
Yeah, and honestly, I thought it was a mistake what they did in Illinois. I thought it was an even bigger mistake in Indiana because over there, they had only had one class. And it was a Final Four, and it was at the time, like when I was over there, Market Square Arena, where the Pacers played, and then they moved it to now Conseco Fieldhouse, where the Pacers play. But boys, girls, that Final Four was sold out every year. Also, the difference in Indiana, there was already a lot of consolidation over there, so there's way fewer schools. Even take away Chicago, there was way fewer schools in Indiana than there was in Illinois. There wasn't hardly any small schools. I mean, there was a lot of counties that just had one big county school or maybe two.
Right.
There was a few exceptions of like where I was working, Shelby County. They had Shelbyville, which was a medium-sized, probably maybe a little less than 1,000 enrollment. And then there was, I think, three other smaller schools in Shelby County. But that was kind of the exception. For the most part, there was a lot of counties with just one or two schools, so there wasn't that many schools anyway.
Right.
So as you talked about it being diluted, that is like, that was just crazy. That's like, why are you? And if you were going to do it, I could get maybe two classes, which they didn't need, but going to four when there's hardly any small schools and there's not really any big, huge schools like some of the Chicago Public League schools or some of the suburban schools either.
Yeah, there was a couple different factors, like you're saying, but Indiana was a little ahead of Illinois even in the consolidation part.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like you said, there was one county school for the small rural areas. And so that divide was lessening a little bit. And the competition was still good. And I think Indiana went to either six classes or six classes they went to.
Wow.
And it just blew up the state tournament there.
So you go to that many and there's, in some cases maybe a handful of schools, mm-hmm. maybe like 20 schools. So, yeah, that you talk about diluting it. There might not even be a good team in one of those classes.
Right.
But even in Illinois, I mean, and to me, it's not to take away from any team that's gone to state and won a championship. You still did it. You still beat the teams. But, to me, yeah, it is a little watered down. But, hey, if the streaks were to get their boys or girls, whatever, I would be really happy for them.
Oh, I would, too.
And say, yes, that's a legitimate state championship.
That was one of the balancing factors.
Right.
Norm and I talked about that, too. We did study. We talked to people in Indiana that went through that, too, when we did an article on that. But you're right. If the Silver Streaks or the Blue Bullets would go to the championship,
yeah,
I mean, the town's still going to be vested into it.
Right.
The town's going to go electric over it.
Yeah.
The town's going to be really excited over it, and there's going to be a lot of to-do over it, which should be.
Well, and that brings me like to the Galesburg girls program in particular, nine consecutive trips to the state tournament during the two-class system. And you look at Morton won the last two back-to-back 3A championships. If it was two classes, they probably wouldn't have, they may have gotten out of a sectional. I don't know that they even would have done that, but they would not have got, I don't think they would have won a super sectional. They probably wouldn't have gone to state. So that's, and again, not, I'm not saying that diluted, not taking away their championships, but
no,
that's how amazing that run by the Streaks was.
Oh, it was incredible. They, with Evan's system, and like we were talking before, they were so deep, they could press, it fueled their offense. Their younger teams were even good. They always had a freshman or two sophomores in waiting.
Yeah.
It was just, it was an incredible system that he built. And, Evan was so far ahead of the rest of the state girls basketball programs. They started catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Took about 10 or 15 years. You could see it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they just dominated for so long. Not only the Big Six, which is a powerful conference, with Moline, Quincy,
Rocky,
to make all those state appearances, playing a championship game, third place finish, fourth place finish, it was incredible.
Yeah, that's one that you mentioned something I always found really interesting. That I think he was ahead of his time, and if I was coaching now, something I would probably do as well. Every single year, like you said, he's got at least one sophomore that gets playing time and one freshman that might not get a lot of time, but will get some time and get a chance to see the difference in intensity, the speed of the game, the strength to know what they have to do coming up and getting a taste of that. So every year, there's at least one four-year player. There's at least one senior that's played some as a freshman all the way through. And that makes a huge difference.
The perfect example of that was, I can't remember the exact year, but Evan had a team coming back from state as usual, and he had two young freshmen, Claire Anderson, Brenna Saline.
Yeah.
They were the first two off the bench. They gained a lot of experience that year. And as sophomores, they were starting, and they were four-year players.
Yeah, yep. And
it was a bridge.
Yeah.
And you always had that.
Absolutely.
Always had
and, it. And always pays off when those girls become seniors as
absolutely.
Well. Absolutely. And then there's some years where you don't have very many seniors, but maybe if you've only got one or two, they've got some experience.
So. Right. Even the Knoxville girls this year, they're 22 and 5, but they have no juniors on the team. They have three seniors.
Mm-hmm.
and then the rest are freshmen and sophomores.
Wow.
So, you know, they brought back the four starters from last year,
right.
The team that won 30 games.
But the best player graduated.
They've still been able to. And they're doing good. They're 22-5. They should win the regionals. They'll be in the sectionals. I don't know how they'll do. It just depends. You know how it is when it comes to that time of year.
Yeah.
But, you know, Coach Axel over there, he's playing two freshmen a lot. He's playing a couple sophomores. So he's got a system like that sort of in place, smaller, albeit, but still one in place there.
John Ring, he writes sports for the Knoxville Bulletin, formerly with the Zephyr. I want to ask you, did you prior, I mean, like you said, covering Galesburg sports for 22 years, had you had a chance growing up or at any time prior to this year doing this, get a chance to get around at some of the smaller gyms at all?
Oh, yeah. Norman and I made it a point. We'd go to Abingdon, we'd go to Knoxville, we'd go to Rova. Those are the three we really focused on.
Yeah.
And it was a nice change of pace to go there. We both enjoyed it, whether it was Rova, you know, the Tigers, or going to see Abingdon. And they had some good teams, both on the girls and boys side during that. So that we did that. It kept us energized. You know, new players, new coaches, new athletic directors. For us, we loved doing that. We really enjoyed it.
And that different atmosphere on top
absolutely.
Of it, too.
Absolutely,
And again, not that, you know, you go out there on a Friday night when Galesburg and Quincy or Moline are playing, it's exciting. You know, same with the girls on a Thursday night conference game, Pep Ben and everything. But it's like every game, every Tuesday, Friday for the boys, and I'm not even sure what the girls, I know their schedules are different, but it's like you kind of have that intensity every night with
Even with the football, Rova football back then. Oh my gosh, what a machine that was.
Yeah.
When Graal was there, they just reloaded and they just had some great teams, and we loved to go there. And actually, it was kind of a break from us because then Galesburg was struggling in football big time. In the 90s, they struggled. Now it's not so much. They've got a very, very competitive, really good program there. But it also got us away to where, you know, we could go and see some other teams and schools. It was fun.
Now, the other different thing now also with the co-ops, which in some ways it drives me nuts, but I'm thinking, like, man, that would be hard as a community member to, you know, is it the same? Do you back the team the same way? But the few games I've gone to, you know, different, like for Hall of Fame inductions or whatever at the Rova Williams Field, I guess it is, for the basketball. It seems the same. It doesn't seem any different. And, you know, kids adjust pretty easily, but it's just like that's just such a weird thing to me. You think, okay, how do you, it's different communities. But yet they're still kind of coming together as a community.
You know, that's a good point. In the first football game I covered, was Knoxville playing Kewanee Weathersfield, Anawan.
Right, yes.
And it was a relatively new merger. And I go up to Kewanee to watch the game, and it seemed pretty seamless.
Yeah.
It really did. Everybody was wearing the new gear, the new sweatshirts, you know, and wasn't the Flying Geese anymore.
Right.
You know. And I love that name. It still is for, you know, their other teams.
Right.
But it was educational for me, and I talked to some people up there, and it was really fun to see how that kind of came together for him.
John Ring joining us. He writes sports for the Knoxville Bulletin. We're going to take a break for news and come back with more. This is Galesburg Live on WGIL.
You've no doubt seen the new construction.